I guess when I put in new, that's kind of relative. Anybody that's worked with Bermuda grass over the last few years know it's been around for 4 or 5 years now, and it can be a devastating pest. I want to recognize my co-authors, Dr. Dennis Hancock and Dr. Will Hudson. They've been a team. It's been a team effort over the last 4 or 5 years working on this. And Zach Moore is one of our students that is working on it. So if you haven't worked with this, if you don't know about Bermuda grass, Themrag, within Bermuda grass, it is an invasive pest. It has an adult that lays eggs on leaf. The larvae hatch and go down to the pseudostem and cause problems. And you can see basically the sizes that we have here. It's a very small fly. The major characteristic of the adult is this yellow abdomen. And this is what the symptoms are. If you pull up a stem, you'll get the stem of the Bermuda grass will not die. It is only the emerging leaves that will be affected, and you get a bronzing of those fields. And it looks like it's just maybe frost damage or something like that if you didn't know that this was what was going on. And the documented spread, there's very little. Dr. Hancock had a student. She did a lot of research on trying to find anything documented, and there was very little publication on it. But there was it was indicated that it was in Asia. It's been in Asia. Wasn't a major problem. Bermuda grass is not a major forage over there. But then it started showing up in Hawaii and then in California and in Georgia. And you could see the timing of those, when the Bermuda grass stem maggot ended up showing up in these states. So now, yes, it's throughout the southeast. Pretty much wherever Bermuda grass can be grown, we'll find it. It's more prominent in the south because it seems to move from the south toward the north during this year. The life cycle, it hasn't really been completely determined at this point, but in general, this is from what we've observed and what has been in the literature, is from the egg to the larvae is about 2 or 3 days, then another 7 days to the pupa, and then another 7 to 10 days to adult fly. And the adult fly can survive 18 to 20 days. We're not sure why or how the adult will survive, because without any sugar water or anything to keep it going, they would only survive a couple days. So it's feeding off something, and we haven't at this point determined what that is. Lisa Baxter, the student with Dr. Hancock, came up, did some research early on. She did a lot of good work. One thing was observed prior to this work was that we noticed that it seemed like the finer stem material, finer stem cultivars had a lot more damage than the thicker stem. And so she did some work in the greenhouse looking at plants, and sure enough, the finer stem, especially common, Russell, Alicia, and coastal to a little less extent, were much more susceptible to the maggot. There was a higher number of infected leaves or infected stems compared to the thicker stem material. And that was published down here, as you can see. So the objectives, since this was work that was done in the greenhouse, we wanted to try to determine what the yield losses would be in the field. So, and with some of the current cultivars initially, we also wanted to determine the association between the adult fly numbers and the percentage of damaged stems and yield, and assess the germ. And also, we did some assessment for germplasm of the germplasm for resistant genotypes in a separate study, and that was essentially a collaborative work we were doing with Patricio Meniz in Florida, where they had multiple locations. But in our location, we did some extensive screening and rating for the damage. All right, the methods for the spray trial was RCB. It was a randomized complete block where we sprayed pyrethroid versus control, which had no spray. And we found that when we sprayed once or twice over the first 2 weeks, that it really did not control it because we had plots very close to each other. So we ended up having to spray pretty much continuous, the pyrethroid throughout the period between clippings. There were adult fly sweeps done. We also counted the damaged and undamaged stem from small samples from within the plots, and these were clipped every 5 weeks as normal. And we also looked at damage, visual screening of damage on the Bermuda grass core collection at multiple locations. But in this study, you can see this is in August 2015. Prior to this, and if you've seen this, then you know that pretty much it takes a while for it to be observed in the field. The first two or three clippings usually haven't no problems. We don't have the flies haven't come in and haven't laid the eggs to cause a lot of damage. Of course, in the south in Florida, we've had the observation of these flies, and the damage has been earlier than in Georgia. And as you go north, the damage may be a little later and less. But you can see in this slide the bronzing that you get with the damage from the BSM, and then the spray pretty much clean. If you look closer, that bronzing is much more observable. So this is Alicia, and this is one of the very, very susceptible lines we found. And then we have Tipton 85, which from a distance, you probably can't see much difference. All right? But if you look closer, you can see some damage in there, so that the BSM is still attacking some of this coarser material. So for the first 2 years, in 2015, in August, we had on our August harvest, notice the yield reduction was 54% in that clipping. Whereas in the damaged stems was pretty consistent. It was a pretty good indicator of what the yield loss would be. Russell was a little less, Coastal a little less, and then Tipton 85, even though it is tolerant to some extent, it still had 20%, almost 20% reduction in yield. And Coast Cross 2, which is a variety that we've just released, it's been around a while, but we just released it. It's tended to have the least amount of damage and least amount of yield. This pretty much the same trend in the last clipping in September of 2015 here. And again, the reduction, Russell was actually reduced even more. And again, the damage there. And you can see those in blue, that's where the significantly less damage and yield loss. 2016, we didn't see as much of a problem. At least it didn't show up as much. We had more drought, and fall armyworm were our predominant problems this past year. But we did still see the yield differences, and especially with Coast Cross 2, we found very little damage as well as yield loss. We looked at the fly numbers, and really this is something that it's been very difficult to find to determine the cycle and where what's going on with the flies. The flies obviously are laying the eggs, and it's causing the larvae to go to attack after a period of time. But if you look at the white versus the blue, the white is the sprayed plot. So obviously we are reducing the spray. The pyrethroid actually kills the adult fly, not the larvae or anything. So we're actually reducing our adult population there. And the black arrows are when we harvest. So if you notice, just before harvest is when we had the highest number of adults in our sweeps, and very little in between. So that buildup, there's something going on in the cycling that we haven't quite figured out what's going on here. All we know is that we are being, with the sprays, we are able to reduce the fly numbers. And this is Russell here, Alicia, Coast Cross 2, and you can see in the with their spray, we're reducing quite a bit as well. So that's still something we have to work on. On the screening, we initially, and as I said, we had over 300 line. It's a core collection. It's a core collection that we developed in Tifton along with some other lines from Grin as well as other places. And it's been, we've had it established now, I think, 3 years. And we started rating for BSM in these plots. Well, we, after the first year, after in 2015, noticed probably about 10 to 12 lines that had observable less damage. So we took those and we established those in the same type of evaluation that we just talked about, spray versus non-spray. And these lines here out of the core collection actually are showing up quite well. I mean, as far as the percent reduction in yields is much less. And this is, again, preliminary data. This is only this past this September that we harvested it. But compared to Tifton 85 and others, Jigs and Alicia, you can see that we have some promising lines. So in conclusion, again, finer stem cultivars are more susceptible than to yield loss to the BSM, and generally the percent stem damage correlates pretty well with the total yield loss. Adult flies are rapidly increased prior to plant maturity, but we're not sure how that cycle is working. Again, we have promising tolerant genotypes in the breeding, in the germplasm. Okay.
All right, we have 2 minutes, so we have plenty of time for any questions.
Yes. Bill, are all the resistant or tolerant ones that you picked out of core collection toward finer stems, or are there some antibiosis or other things that's not related to stem morphology?
The question is whether or not the tolerant lines are stout and stem versus coarser stem versus the finer stem. Generally, there are they're coarse stems again. They're similar in morphology, I would say, to 85 and those that type. But we have been trying to observe some that are finer stem, and we probably try to find. We're looking at some that are not as coarse, but they also don't yield quite as much. But anyway.
Any other questions for Dr. Anderson?
Bill, have you been releasing stem? Do you have a collection, or is that just natural occurrence of stem maggots?
Oh, it's natural occurrence. Yeah, we haven't had a problem with that.
Well, you know, funny thing, mm-hmm. when you want them,
yeah.
to attack, then they're not there.
Monty will give you some.
Yeah.
Monty has plenty.
Yeah.
No worries.
And our observation is that, where are they coming from, the adults initially? And we've got a bunch of theories, but, outside there's Bermuda grass everywhere. So the coast, the common, it's harboring it, but whether or not anything else is harboring those, we're not sure.
Any other questions? Any other questions? All right, at this time, let's thank our speaker.